Doctors Today. The latest developments in the world of medicine. Can you name the disease that is the most frequent cause of death between the ages of 5 and 19? Do you know how to fight this disease that so often kills or cripples hearts and claims a million victims? No, it's not infantile paralysis. It's very seldom in the headlines because it kills slowly. Here's the story of the greatest child killer in the world today.
American Medical Association, in cooperation with the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations, presents Doctors Today, a weekly report on the progress of science and medicine. This week, the ways and means to combat rheumatic heart disease. We first hear from Dr. W.W. Bauer, speaking for the American Medical Association. Dr. Bauer.
Let us think of the body of a healthy person as a mighty fortress, built to last 100 years. From the day it enters this world until the last hour of life, this fortress must wage war. Billions of microbes will try to destroy it. Legions of white blood cells will defend it. There will be a day when the fortress is overcome by the forces of death. It may be the first day of life or in the 100th year. Today, medical science offers a great array of methods to combat the diseases that boldly storm the ramparts of the human fortress. Diseases like smallpox, malaria, diphtheria, and pneumonia. But beware of the diseases that fight a cold war, that slip quietly into our lives and give us little warning of their presence while they proceed to destroy us. I am speaking now of diseases like rheumatic heart disease, that treacherous and terrible killer of children. We invite you to listen while we present the dramatic story of a victim.
Jimmy Scott was never very sick until he became a victim of the disease that tried to take his life and almost left him with a crippled heart. He had colds, he often had a sore throat, but he had very little fever. There wasn't much to indicate that he was being attacked by a disease that was trying to take his life. His mother called the doctor a couple of times. And then there came a day when Jimmy's father came home to find that his wife had called in a doctor.
Hello, Alice.
Oh, it's you, Tom. You're home early.
Yes, I had to call on a customer way out at Woodstock. I decided I might as well come home and go back to the office.
The doctor's here.
Oh, Dr. Lyman?
Yes. Jimmy's sick. He's very feverish. He has pains in his legs.
Oh, really?
I thought we'd better have the doctor see him again.
Oh, Alice, it's just a cold and a little sore throat.
He does have a little fever. I took his temperature twice today.
It doesn't amount to a thing.
Oh, I hope you're right.
They all have one bad winter. I remember the winter when Janice had mumps, measles, and chicken pox.
Yes, and the winter that Tommy had scarlet fever.
Yes, that was really serious.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have bothered to call Dr. Lyman this time. But Jimmy's had so many colds and sore throats this winter.
Well, I suppose it's just as well you did. Oh, hello, Doctor.
Oh, hello, Tom. I didn't see you in a queue when I came in.
No, I just got home.
Well, I'd like to talk to both of you about Jimmy.
All right. Let's go into the living room.
Yeah, I think we'd better.
Well, too bad you doctors can't find a way to check all these colds. I guess they just have to run their course, don't they?
Jimmy has more than a cold, Tom. Much more. He's had a couple of strep infections this winter, you know.
Yes, I remember.
We treated the strep infections, but it seems that we weren't able to start treatment soon enough. This time, his condition is much more serious.
Well, what is it now?
Jimmy had rheumatic fever, and now he has a clear-cut case of rheumatic heart disease.
Oh, no. I had no idea.
Yes. You remember I asked you to keep him in bed until I was sure that it would be safe for him to get up again?
Oh, I know, Doctor, but it's so hard to keep them in bed when they begin to feel good again. Jimmy had practically no fever the last time I let him up. And now...
I know. It's quite a problem, but this time it's different.
This time you must keep him in bed, Mrs. Scott. Not just for a couple of weeks, but for months.
For months?
I told him 3 months, or until I felt sure that it would be safe for him to get out again. That may be a year, or even longer.
A year?
A whole year?
Yes, and it's going to be a very difficult year for you. You're going to have to keep him in bed, keep him interested during that entire time.
Doctor, what you're asking is... Well, I don't know how it'll ever be possible with a boy like Jimmy. Oh,
but he's so active in school, Doctor. He's one of the brightest boys in his class.
Either he stays in bed, or he'll be an invalid for life. I can't promise you anything, but he must be kept in bed from now on until I say he can get up, or else.
Well, that settles it. From now on, he stays in bed.
Oh, of course.
You must think of Jimmy as an invalid, even though he may not look like an invalid a lot of the time. Our public health nurse, Miss Martin, will drop in as soon as she has a chance. She'll give you a lot of good suggestions for making him comfortable in bed and keeping him interested in occupational therapy.
All right, Doctor. I'll do whatever she suggests.
This is going to be a long, drawn-out battle, Mrs. Scott. But never forget that we're fighting for Jimmy's chance to grow up and lead a healthy, happy, useful life.
For weeks, probably for months, the body of Jimmy Scott had beaten off a series of attacks by bacteria known as hemolytic streptococci with the help of sulfa drugs. Under the guise of a sore throat, a low fever, and a few aches and pains, a mysterious group of tiny killers had made a commando raid on Jimmy's heart. Now, they were solidly entrenched. The battle to drive them out must be a long and costly procedure. That night, Jimmy's father and mother drew up a plan of campaign which would tax the patience of many people.
Alice, when Jimmy was born, do you remember that talk we had in the hospital about what we'd name him?
Yes. Didn't we finally agree that you could name the boys and I'd name the girls?
That's right. And do you know why I decided to call him Jimmy?
Well, wasn't it after one of your younger brothers?
Yes. The brother I used to hunt and fish with. Oh, we had some great times together. I wouldn't say this to Frank or George or Alex, but he was closer to me than any of them.
He was about 13 when he died, wasn't he?
14. I guess I never told you what he died from.
No. All I ever heard was that he was sick for quite a while.
Well, he had exactly what our Jimmy has.
Well, Tom.
That's right. And when I heard Dr. Lyman say rheumatic fever tonight, well, I can't tell you what it did to me. I was suddenly back at that little cemetery in Oakdale, watching them lower my kid brother into his grave.
Tom, it can't be that serious, or Dr. Lyman would have said so.
No, it isn't yet, but it could be.
We know so much more about how to treat it these days.
Yes, but some children are still dying from it. A lot more are left with crippled hearts. We lose Jimmy the way I lost my brother, Jimmy. Well, it'll be the hardest thing I've ever had to face.
Oh, darling, please don't talk this way. It's making you so jittery.
I can't help it, Alice. We've had our share of illness in this family, but this time I'm scared stiff. You've never known what it is to have a boy looking good one day, not so good the next. Getting out of bed, going back to school, back in bed again, but gradually going down and down until it's all over.
But that's not going to happen to us. Jimmy's going to stay in bed.
No, I'll say he is, but that's not all. Let's say we're able to get him back on his feet in a year. Think of the job you've got ahead of you. 365 days of trying to keep him up in his schoolwork, trying to keep him interested in hobbies, all sorts of things.
Tom, do you think I'm going to mind doing all that for Jimmy?
No, dear. It isn't that you'll mind. It's just that we don't know how to do this job right.
What do you mean, do the job right? I'll follow Dr. Lyman's orders and do what Miss Martin says.
Yeah, but that still won't be enough. There must be a lot of tricks to this job that others have learned through long, hard experience.
I suppose there are, but...
I'd like to sit down with some other parents who have children in the same condition and talk it over with them.
But where would we find them?
Well, we'll find them. We'll get together and trade ideas. Alice, you're going to have it rough. While I'm at the office, you'll be looking after him in addition to doing your housework. But I'm going to make it my business to see that we learn all there is to know about how to bring Jimmy through with flying colors. Then if we should lose him, in spite of everything, we'll know that we've done all that's possible. And we'll never have to think what I know my poor dad and mother must have thought.
That we were partly to blame. Oh, Tom, I'd never forgive myself if I had that on my conscience.
Suppose you were a 12-year-old boy, sentenced to serve a year in bed, not as a punishment, but simply on probation, as a test to see whether you would be fit to do what your friends were already doing right outside your window. Wouldn't it seem like a very cruel world at times? Especially when one of your friends dropped in and told you that, among other things, the school team missed you.
Yeah, we sure had a time with that game from Central. What was the score?
34-31. Pete made 6 baskets.
Oh, how many did you make?
I made 4 and 2 free throws.
How about Eddie?
Let's see, 3 baskets and 2 free throws.
Say, that's pretty good.
Oh, it wouldn't have been nearly so close if we had you in there.
Oh, I don't know about that. Bob's a pretty good center.
Are you kidding? Even Mr. Carson said, well, we sure missed Jimmy Scott in there, didn't we?
Really?
And a lot of guys said, did we ever, and things like that.
Oh, that's swell. Glad to know I missed.
How soon can you be back in school?
Oh, I don't know. Might be a long time.
How long?
Well, a couple of months. Maybe longer.
Gee, that's tough, Jim. I kind of thought it'd be a long time.
Why?
They gave you a seat to a new kid. I brought all your books and stuff home.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Miss Brown asked me to.
Oh, thanks. Who's the new kid?
Gary Belcher, funny-looking little jerk from Cincinnati.
Is he out for basketball?
No, he's a dope. Even the girls hardly talk to him. He walks around like he's in a daze.
I suppose he's homesick.
Just like you, huh?
Like me?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
Well, you're homesick.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
Oh, it don't bother me.
Anything for a gag. Gosh, we sure miss you. You know who's taking it the hardest, I think?
Who?
As if you didn't know. Betty Jane.
Oh, it's nice to know who your real friends are.
Well, you don't look very sick to me. But I guess you can't always tell by looks. Remember Elmira Jenkins?
Yeah, sure.
My mother says she's been in a wheelchair for a couple of years.
Well, I gotta be going. See you later, Jim.
Yeah, thanks for all you've done.
Hello, Terry.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Scott. I'm just leaving.
Well, it's nice of you to come around and cheer Jimmy up.
Oh, I know how it is. I'd sure hate to be in a spot like this myself.
Mrs. Scott knew why there were tears in her son's eyes after his friend Terry left, why he had so little appetite that evening. She'd heard enough to realize that Terry had said all the things that he shouldn't have said in his well-meaning but misguided attempt to be a good friend. He learned a very important lesson from that experience. The next time Jimmy's friends dropped in, there were games waiting for them to play. And this time there was laughter, not tears, on Jimmy's face. Mrs. Scott also learned a lot from Miss Martin, the public health nurse, who called to help her and Jimmy.
Mrs. Scott, do you realize what a handsome boy you have here? He reminds me of Gregory Peck.
Oh, I do not.
Well, you do, too. You even got... Well, I never thought I'd brush elbows with a future movie star.
I better sign you up as my agent.
All right, that's a deal. Well, now, Mrs. Scott, don't you think that if we turned his bed around this way, that he'd get better light during the daytime?
Why, yes, of course. Well, he'd have come right over his shoulder.
Oh, funny, I didn't think of that. We just don't think of these things until we've had a lot of experience. Now, I'd also suggest that you get a bed table so he can read and write and go in for handicraft a little more comfortably.
All right.
And I think you'd better get a knee roll so his legs don't have to lie flat all the time.
A knee roll?
Yes, I'll show you just what it is before I leave. And then I'd also get him a foot prop.
This is all so new to us.
Well, there's so many little things we can do to make it a lot easier. Dr. Lyman said that Jimmy would be able to go along with the schoolwork.
Yes. Yes, I've already talked to his teacher, Miss Brown,
And
she's outlined his studies for the next month.
Oh, fine. Well, Jimmy, that means that you can finish school with your class. Maybe by fall or early next year, you can go into high school with him.
Gosh, I sure hope so.
But there are all sorts of other exciting things that you can be doing in the meantime. Tell me, Do you like to build models?
Yes, I've made a few.
He's very clever with his hands, Miss Martin. Well, that's wonderful, because it means that in a couple of months, you can have this room decorated with a lot of examples of your work, Jimmy.
Gee, that'll be fun.
Say, you don't know the half of it, young man. Why, before we get through giving you things to do, you're going to discover a whole new world. This might turn out to be one of the most interesting years of your whole life.
Miss Martin had kindled a spark in Jimmy that quickly blazed into a flame. He couldn't go out and play basketball for a while, but he could keep up in his studies. There were books he could read that took him into worlds of travel and adventure. There were things he could do with his hands that aroused the admiration of his visitors. Model airplanes and boats. But it wasn't all to be as easy as he thought. One day, Dr. Lyman told Jimmy's parents,
"I know you're keeping him in bed, but he's a very bright boy, and all these new interests are speeding him up too much. He's been running a fever for several days."
"Yes, I know. But what am I doing that's wrong?"
"We have to slow him down a little. Give him more rest."
"How is his heart?"
"He's not doing as well as he should be."
"Oh."
"No more handicraft for a while. Very little reading for at least another week."
"All right, Doctor."
"You see, Mrs. Scott, it's a long, hard battle. It has its ups and downs. I'll prescribe some additional drugs. And possibly, in another 10 days or 2 weeks, we can put him back on the original program. You've been a fine, practical nurse so far. Keep up the good work."
Sometimes a battle is won in a day. Sometimes it lasts for a week, a month, or for years. The battle to save a child from the ravages of rheumatic heart fever can last a long time. But Jimmy's dad and mother had a fighting spirit that is typically American. One day, Mrs. Scott had a visitor who said that she, too, had a child with rheumatic heart disease.
"Hello.
How do you do? You're Mrs. Scott, aren't you?"
"Yes. And I think I've seen you around town."
"I'm sure you have. I'm Mrs. Parker. I live over on Maple Street."
"Oh, well, won't you come in?"
"Thanks. Mrs. Scott, I've been told that you have a boy with rheumatic heart disease."
"Yes."
"Well, I'm not here to tell you I feel terribly sorry, although I know how you feel. You see, I have an 11-year-old girl who's been in bed for 6 months with the same condition."
"Oh, I see. Well, Jimmy's been down now for only a month."
"Yes, I know. But Dr. Lyman told us that your husband is trying to form some sort of a club among the parents of children who have it."
"Yes, we thought we might learn a little more by getting together."
"Oh, Mrs. Scott, I think it's a grand idea. There's so much we can do by banding together. It's not very easy fighting it when you're all alone, is it?"
"No, it isn't."
"But if we get together and share our problems, I'm sure there's a lot we can learn. We can bring in our public health nurse and men from the county medical society and handicraft experts and all sorts of people to help us."
"Why, of course. We could do it by sharing expenses."
"No reason why not."
"Well, then let's do it. We've already found 4 other people with children like ours."
"I know of at least 6.
"Oh, I'll tell Tom. I know he'll be simply thrilled."
"Mrs. Scott, Frank and I have decided that we'd stop at nothing to put Rosemary back on her feet. But if we all get together, we'll bring a lot of them back."
"Yes, I'm sure there's so much we can tell one another, but no one else understands. And so much that we can accomplish together. Oh, we're with you, Mrs. Parker. We're with you 100%.
The tiny one-celled organisms mobilized by millions to kill a human body. Doctors organized by the thousands to combat them. Why shouldn't the parents who have victims of diseases like rheumatic fever organize to help save their children? We live in a highly organized society where the bacon and eggs you eat at breakfast, the blankets you sleep under at night, are part of a common effort. Let's see what happened when Jimmy Scott's mother and dad joined in a community fight against rheumatic heart disease with the help of the local chapter of the American Heart Association. Health authorities were amazed at the response to a call for a general meeting of parents who were interested. After the second meeting, Jimmy's father and mother dropped into the corner drugstore for a chocolate sundae, and they talked about the club they had helped organize.
"Darling, What we learned tonight is going to mean a lot for Jimmy.
Well, it should. We not only had our doctor there, we had some of his colleagues who were also top men in the medical society. I learned a lot from them.
I think I did, too.
And your little public health nurse, what's her name?
Miss Martin.
She was very good. Told us a lot.
She certainly did.
And it's pretty nice to think that we'll have a teacher coming around to make sure that Jimmy's getting all he should out of his books.
But, you know, I was so surprised to find so many parents who have children just like Jimmy. And people like the Wilsons and the Adams and the Munsons.
And all looking for a little advice.
Mm-hmm. Now we have our story hour every Saturday morning at the public library. And the folding wheelchair when I need to take Jimmy in for x-ray. Oh, it was all wonderful. Such a night. You know, Tom, it helped me so much just to realize that there were so many other mothers like me who had boys and girls like Jimmy.
I'm not afraid anymore, Alice. I think we've found a way to save his heart.
Now, you might think that after getting the best advice available from doctors and nurses, Jimmy soon recovered and was able to join his schoolmates on the playground. Oh, it all helped. But there were still many times when Dr. Lyman was not at all sure that Jimmy would not have a heart that would cripple him for life. One afternoon, Dr. Lyman called, and after examining Jimmy, he smiled as he said,
I think we can let him get up and walk around for about 5 minutes tomorrow, Mrs. Scott.
Even up and downstairs?
No, not up and downstairs just yet. But in 2 more days, yes, up and downstairs. And I'll be back to examine him by then, and perhaps within a week or two, we'll have him outdoors. Then, if everything goes well, I think that within a few more weeks, our battle will be over. And Jimmy'll be back in school.
Here was a boy who won the long struggle against the treacherous disease that strikes at the heart during childhood. He would have lost that fight without the help of a mother who worked hard to provide good nursing care in addition to performing her household tasks. A mother who freely sacrificed herself for her son. This is so often the story of the child who is left without a crippled heart.
We take you now to station WBZ in Boston, where Dr. T. Duckett Jones, chairman of the National Rheumatic Fever Committee, will speak for the American Heart Association. Dr. Jones.
The American Council on Rheumatic Fever of the American Heart Association daily receives letters from worried mothers all over the United States seeking advice about a serious health problem, rheumatic fever and heart disease. One mother asks, where could my small boy with rheumatic fever get expert care? Is there a physician with rheumatic fever experience near us? Are there any special rheumatic fever hospitals or institutions nearby? Another says, our apartment is crowded, damp, dreary. Is it true that we must move to improve the health of our 2 rheumatic fever children? Would you advise moving to another part of the country? And here's another letter, typical of the urgent problems created by rheumatic fever. It says, I have been told to keep my 10-year-old son quiet and in bed because he has rheumatic fever. This is impossible with 5 other small children. What must I do? The boy has missed so much school, he is far behind in his studies. What can be done about that? Another letter directly from a rheumatic fever patient asks what sort of work he should do to avoid overexertion and how can he get the necessary vocational training. These letters show that the needs of rheumatic fever sufferers involve many community agencies. A rheumatic fever patient needs excellent medical and nursing supervision, medical social services, special schooling, occupational training, vocational guidance, and other services. He may need care in general hospitals and frequently special institutions, such as sanatoria, convalescent or foster homes, or special care in his own home. Such services are not available unless planned. We must establish programs of care in all areas which lack them. Recognizing these great and special needs of the rheumatic fever patient, the American Council on Rheumatic Fever was formed 4 years ago by the American Heart Association. The council is composed of delegates of leading national medical organizations, one of which is the American Medical Association. nursing and medical social service organizations, and leading scientists working in the field. The council has a comprehensive program designed to meet the needs. However, limited funds and lack of personnel have seriously hampered the development of this program. The Life Insurance Medical Research Fund, the United States Public Health Service, and the Helen Hay Whitney Foundation have recently increased rheumatic fever research funds. Research is expensive, and funds remain inadequate. We need new rheumatic fever knowledge. The American public has a tremendous stake in the solution of this problem. We need your support to help improve rheumatic fever services, add new scientific knowledge, and apply this knowledge quickly. The American Council on Rheumatic Fever joins with the American Heart Association in observance of National Heart Week. We ask you to help fight rheumatic fever and heart disease. We urge you to aid in the development of programs in your community to combat this great menace to our public health.
Thank you, Dr. Jones.
Doctors Today is presented by the American Medical Association and the National Broadcasting Company through the facilities of NBC and its independent affiliated stations. We present this program on behalf of the thousands of physicians who are working night and day to protect and preserve the lives of 141 million Americans. The American Medical Association invites you to join us again next week to hear another report on the progress of medicine and surgery in America. Doctors Today, written by William J. Murphy, comes to you through the facilities of the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations associated with the NBC network. The orchestra is under the direction of Bernard Berquist, with original music composed by Emil Soderstrom. The entire production is under the direction of Norman Felton. Heard in today's cast were Don Gallagher, Vern Persons, Tommy DeLeon, Stuart Slam, Eloise Cummer, Lillian White, and Jeff Hughes. Bob McKee was heard as the narrator. Your announcer is Henry Cook. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.